If you want to have a successful career today, you have to have an understanding of what this stuff is. You don't have to build it, but it's like, can you have a successful career without knowing some concepts?
Welcome to the AI Decodes the System podcast. I'm your host, Amber Ivy, also known as AI. AI Decodes the System is a series of podcast interviews with industry experts and everyday people who will help explain topics related to policy, tech, data, law, and other current issues in plain language. The goal of this podcast is to help close the knowledge gap in a world that's moving fast and inundated with a lot of information. So sit back, grab your notebook, and enjoy the show. Sophia Matveyeva is the CEO and founder of Tech for Non-Techies, an educational company and consultancy. Sophia has contributed to the Financial Times, The Guardian, and Forbes on entrepreneurship, technology, and hosts the top-rated Tech for Non-Techies podcast. Tech for Non-Techies helps corporates upskill their teams for digital transformation and teaches non-technical innovators how to bring their ideas to life. Sophia has guest lectured at the University of Chicago, London Business School, and Oxford University, and led the Blackstone Tech Stars Accelerator at the University of Texas. She holds an MBA from Chicago Booth and a Bachelor's in Science with honors in politics from Bristol. She speaks English, Russian, and French. Sophia also sits on the board for the University of Chicago's alumni in the UK. Hello, Sophia. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Amber. It is wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to talk with you. I love your background and I love that you bring a different spin to the normal tech space. One thing that I want to call out for our audience is that you have a background that's not traditional for a founder of a technical company. You're actually a non-technical founder. How did you get into the tech space?
Well, I think we're all kind of now in the tech space. It's just, I just did it earlier. So as you said, Amber, I started my career outside tech. So I was first in the media, then in private equity, and then I got my MBA at Chicago Booth. And I was thinking, well, I want to have a great career. And I thought private equity, you know, the world of high finance was going to do it, but I tried it. It was really not for me. And I thought, okay, all the money, all the innovation, and all the fun seems to be in the tech sector. So I thought, well, I'll get this really important looking MBA. And then after that, I'll have this great career in tech. And I was wondering how to do it. And I worked with a few people on a tech idea, and essentially a tech startup was born when we were doing our MBA. But the thing is, when you have a bunch of MBA people working on a tech startup, you're all business people, but none of you know anything about technology. But I only realized what a huge problem that was when it was already too late and when we'd already gone through accelerators and actually had some money in the bank. And I thought, oh, wow, there's actually quite a lot that I don't know.
That's a good point, because coming from my background started more so on the business side at first. And it is different. It's a different world that you're in. So you started in media, but then you went into all these other areas. How do you take that background in media and then say, oh, I need to find the intersection in tech? How did you do that?
So first of all, I think tech is everywhere, because even your coffee shop has an app. And, you know, your yoga studio has an app. And I used to say this phrase kind of like, it was like my catchphrase. And I thought, well, let me actually look into the financial results of Starbucks to see if what I'm saying actually reflects in the finances. And you know what, Amber, it does. In their latest annual income statement, it said that Starbucks gets over 53% of their in-store revenues via the app. So that's more than half of their revenues. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, you know, in answer to your question, is that Starbucks is a coffee chain. They are still making money. They're selling coffee. They've got stores to manage. This is what they do. But in order for the executives of Starbucks to actually do their job well, they've had to learn about AI, personalization, mm-hmm. user experience. And so I think that we're now in an age, you know, if we're in an age where the executives of a coffee company are getting like more than half of their revenue from an app, tech is everywhere. So it's not like we necessarily have to make an effort to find a thread. When I was doing it, because, you know, I'm now at the ripe old age of 39. So when I was making the transition, I did have to convince people a bit more that, like, oh, look, media, digital media, you know, it's communications. Like, isn't the internet sort of about communications? So I had to work a bit harder. But now I think that, you know, even if you go to get your nails done, you're probably going to be doing it through some sort of digital interface. So we no longer have to prove to employers or to investors that actually we as non-techies need to participate in tech, because it is participating in us already.
I love how you break it down and explain current sectors that folks don't think about as tech spaces, right? We don't think about Starbucks as a space that is thinking about tech because we're thinking about it as coffee or getting your nails done or all these other sectors. But I'm also a tech adjacent person who's done a little bit of that work. But what would you say to the person who's a little bit fearful and they're like, I literally don't have any idea where to start. I feel like I'm an imposter in this. How would you recommend them navigating that space where they find their intersection with technology?
So first of all, they should listen to your podcast, Amber. So thank you. And they should also listen to my podcast, Tech for Non-Techies.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we are demystifying tech and also doing it, I think, in a warm and lovely and delightful way. Because, you know, If you call it homework, nobody wants to do it. Whereas if you make it fun, then actually, you know, people have a good time and they enjoy it. So I think there is information that you can absorb, sort of like a podcast. But also what you need to understand is that as a person who's just getting into the space for the first time, you need to learn concepts rather than skills. So what I mean is you need to understand some new words. So basically there are some tech concepts like what is an API? What's a backend? Those are just new words, new concepts. The way like you learn a language, you need to understand what these things are and how they relate to business outcomes. Like, you know, an API, it's a tech term, but it also relates a lot to business strategy. But you don't actually have to build this thing yourself.
Very true.
And I think this is where a lot of people go wrong. They think, well, I don't know anything about technology. Like, I'm going to go and learn things, like to do them with my bare hands. And I was one of those people. I remember I was already running a tech company and terrified that I didn't understand really what was going on. So I took this course, which actually included taking a computer apart and looking inside the hard drive.
Oh, wow.
And so I did that. And it did not make my life better. Because I was still like, okay, well, now instead of one large metal box, I have lots of small metal boxes lying in front of me. And I still don't understand what I'm supposed to go and say to my developers. Like, how is this going to happen? And this is where I think, you know, when somebody is very ambitious and very smart, but also they have this imposter syndrome, they basically go completely overboard. And then they think, I'm going to sign up to this 6-month coding course, which I'm going to do for 2 hours, you know, per day, 4 days a week. And they do it like for a week and it costs them thousands upon thousands of dollars. They do it, you know, for a week or two, then they stop and then they feel guilty because it's not whole like perfection thing, like, oh, unless I have a computer science degree, I don't know anything. But as you and I both know, actually, like, you don't need to have that huge level of knowledge. You need to understand the concept, but you don't need to take apart hard drives with your bare hands.
So many things you said definitely resonate with me, like the whole idea that it doesn't have to be you building it out, right? Like, you have all of us have different skill sets we're bringing that can help enhance whatever that app is or whatever that technology we're trying to build. But letting folks know they need to start with the concepts, because I think a lot of times it's scary, right? They hear things like algorithms, APIs, AI, and all these things that they really probably think are just buzzwords, but they're so critical to understanding this. And I love how you talk about it like it's a language. It's a new language you're learning, and you're learning how to apply it in the world you live in. So thank you for that. I think that's really important as folks are listening to this podcast today. So let me dig a little bit deeper, because I know folks are still probably not 100% sold and probably think there's something more they need to be doing. So one of the things I also love about you is that even with your non-technical background, you're the co-creator of award-winning apps and algorithms that have been used by thousands of people. How did you overcome the fears that were attached to, or maybe you didn't have fears, but how do you overcome fears that are attached to not having the hardcore technical skills? Like, after you open that computer up, How did you get beyond that to know that you had what it takes to do this?
Well, so first of all, the fear is constant. I'm in a constant state of terror, just in general. But I try not to let it stop me too much. I mean, we're all human. So I just thought that at some point the state of terror would stop. It doesn't. I think I'm just more me and my terror coming along to do things. So I think in terms of actually learning how to do things, the best way to learn anything, again, like our language example, is when you don't have a choice. And because I was so desperate to get my first company started, I was literally kind of in a space of, I am going to do this whatever it takes. One of the reasons I had faith in the company, but also another important reason was that I really felt stuck in the old age. So I felt like my previous career would have been fantastic for the 80s. You know, media, private equity, like the Wolf of Wall Street, all of that, that's great. But I was like, but we are not in the 80s. We're not even in the 90s. Like that's not where the cool kids are. And so it's weird because, you know, lots of people try to get into private equity. And I was thinking, no. This is an industry that really bores me. And I don't think the people are very nice. I don't think I'm going to do interesting work. So, and also probably childishly, I idolized tech. And so I was thinking that I'm going to get into it no matter what it takes. And so I made quite a few mistakes. I signed up to way too many courses. Mm-hmm. I learned lots of things that I then realized I didn't need to learn. Like I took all these coding courses. And I remember I took 3 hours to turn a little blue square into a little black square, which, you know, 3 hours to literally take a little thing and turn into a different color. And I was the CEO of a company, so that's not a good use of your time. But I was saying, with our earlier language example, you know, if you're just sitting there and you're just taking courses, mm-hmm. but you never actually go to the country to practice the language, you are never really going to learn. So what you need to do is, yes, listen to the podcast, take an online course, you know, read some stuff. You do need to do that.
Right.
But then start getting involved. It's a bit like, okay, you know, I'm in France now and my French improves drastically when I'm here because it's all around you. When you go to the market, if you want to buy food, like you're going to have to speak the language if you want to eat. And it's the same thing. So if you want to transition into tech, essentially you could do it the very brutal founder way that I did it. But you don't have to even do that. Like what really helped me was actually working with a team and asking questions and finally getting to the point where I was able to say, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain it? And once you know how to ask questions, and you're speaking to somebody who is a good person, because there are people who want you to not understand, because essentially they want you to think that I know this really hard thing and you don't, so you have to pay me lots and lots of money. I mean, those are just not people you want to have around you in general. But if you do have somebody who just has a different background, it's quite okay to say to them, look, I come from this world, you come from that world. How, like, can you give me a map? Can you be my guide as we go into the world? And that eventually kind of really helps. It's, again, like when you're going to a new country, find a local friend. And then they will tell you the local customs.
I love how you talked about immersing yourself in this space. The good thing is, in the world we're in now, it's all around us. Like we're on technology tools right now that are helping us to have this conversation, but it's literally everywhere and a part of all of our lives. I also love what you talked about, like you're in France right now. So being in that country makes you exercise those skills. So sometimes it takes you getting in those spaces, being around the conversation to be able to have that dialogue. I think those are amazing points. And it really helps me remember that we all are continuous learners, hopefully, and that this is just one way to learn a new skill is just really to dive in it. So I want to shift a little bit to talk about your company. So Tech for Non-Techies, I love the name. Brilliant branding is amazing. And I love what you all are doing on your podcast. Please check it out. They have a bunch of episodes to talk about everything from AI to some things around workforce. They just have a lot of amazing topics. What I love to do on the show is describe things in a very simple way. So how would you describe your company to my 2-year-old or my 7-year-old nieces who have no idea what we're talking about? What's the easiest way to explain what you do at Tech for Non-Techies?
So I'm assuming in the world that we live in, they either have a device or they have seen devices, or, you know, they've tried to steal your device.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, at that age, they're figuring it out earlier than we're figuring it out.
They figured it out.
And so what I would say to them is that I teach people how those things get made and who makes them. And essentially, because that also explains the business side and the tech side. Because I heard, you know, I did this MBA, I paid $180,000 for it. And I would say the most useful lesson that I got was actually one sentence, was in every company, you need somebody who makes the product and somebody who sells the product.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is so profound. But essentially, at Tech for Non-Techies, we teach people how tech products get made. So how does an app, how does an algorithm get made? Not so you make it yourself. It's we teach to non-technical professionals, so usually business people, how do these things get made? And then how do the companies that make these things, how do they make money out of them?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, okay, how does the Facebook algorithm help people become more engaged? So then you can have an engagement strategy for your company. Or it's something like the Starbucks app. Okay, how does having a really, really engaging product that really understands everything about your user, how does that actually get them to buy your coffee as opposed to somebody else's coffee? Because it's basically a loyalty program. So we teach people about the product. How do you work with the data scientist? How do you work with the developer? You know, what do these words that they use, what do they mean? But then also, how do you then translate that product strategy to making your customers happy and making money?
I'm hearing you as you're talking about it. I'm hearing like the MBA side of you come out, and even some of the media pieces that you talked about before, like experience that you have, even just flows out of you as you're explaining the company. So what made you start it? Like, what was the niche you're trying to fill? Some of it I've heard in your answer, but what gap in the industry were you trying to fill when you said, I'm creating this company?
Well, you know what, Amber, you're making me sound so good, because actually it had no plan and no strategy. It was literally just fueled by fear and insecurity.
Mm.
So All of the listeners, I can say, you know, your fears and your insecurities can actually be the foundation of a great career.
There we go.
So in my first company, I was terrified, because I was working with very, very smart people, and I really didn't, it was obvious that there was a lot that I didn't know. And then it became obvious that there was no way I was going to learn all of it. And I kept on thinking to myself, where is that line where you stop? Where is that line where I, like, what do I need to know? And what do I need to just learn to be zen about letting go? And I mean, that's every single leader's question, right? Because, like, if you rise to the top of a big company, say you come from, I don't know, operations or marketing, you're never really going to have a super great understanding of what all the other departments are doing. So actually, I don't think I'm the only person who's ever gone through this experience.
I don't think so. I agree.
But with tech, I think it just adds this other dimension, because especially there are all these programs that say, oh, you need to learn to code, you know, did you do a STEM subject? I'm thinking, oh my God, no, I studied political science. Like, I love poetry. Am I, like, what's going to happen to me? And when I was doing this, I had a column in Forbes. So I started writing in Forbes about what I was learning as a non-technical founder. And I started interviewing successful non-technical people in tech. So investors or corporate executives who basically have a similar background to mine, but were succeeding in tech. And now, as you know, when you're interviewing people, you're basically getting consulting as well. And so, yeah, I ended up learning a lot, but also those Forbes articles did well. And then people started asking me to give talks and teach. And that's when I really saw that there's this gap in the market of okay, I'm not going to teach you to learn to code because I'm a terrible coder. And honestly, it made me want to scratch my eyes out. I think taking a 2 or 3 hour course just to understand is useful. Like, that's 2 or 3 hours. Like, come on, that's like 3 episodes of Succession. Like, you can do it. But you don't need to, you know, sign up to something really, really long. It's a way you make your own. But anyway, I really saw that there's this gap in the market. How do you tell a busy corporate executive, or how do you tell a person who wants to start a tech-enabled business? So, you know, what if they want to start? For example, I'm thinking one of my current clients, she is an orthopedic dentist. So she's a dentist for kids. And she has actually created an app for teledentistry for children.
That's amazing.
So she is still a dentist. Like, the whole aim of her business is to help kids, you know, with their teeth, or actually help their parents. You know what I mean? She ended up creating an app, which now other dentists are using too. She's deeply technical because medicine is a deeply technical field, and she actually has 6 degrees, which is terrifying.
That's a lot.
I know, like, I only have 2 and I feel illiterate compared to her. But her app actually is called Good Checkup. So yeah, if dentists use it, and you know, if you've got kids in the US and they have teeth, then check it out. And this is the kind of person that I am really working with, like somebody who is smart, successful, already very accomplished. And technology is not going to be the center of what they're doing, but it allows their work to spread. And really, those are the people that I think are the technical specialists.
So I like the fact that you work with people who don't know where to start and that already have possibly a expertise in their field and helped them understand these things. So definitely check out her website. There's a lot of cool videos up there, cool ways to get engaged. So please check it out, because it's really important that we all think about how we do this. Because I often feel like, for me, I feel like you get left behind pretty quickly as things start to change. But with the no code world, with all the stuff that's happening, it's much easier, I feel, now that people have built the foundation for non-techies to be involved in this space. I personally think that. I don't know how you feel, but what do you think about where things are going and how things are changed for folks to easily be able to navigate the non-techie technical world?
You know, so I think there are 2 aspects to what you're saying, because there is the kind of the movement, the changes in technology and changes in society. But I also have noticed that some of that just does not apply to people who are just super confident. So basically, what I notice, and you know, female founders, we all kind of know that women tend to be much harder on themselves. And you know, when we don't know something, we're like, let me take all of the courses, listen to all of the podcasts,
right,
read all the books, and memorize everything.
So true.
And maybe then, like, I will, like, put up my hand in the class. And I do think, you know, this is something that I am trying to work on, to be like, you know what, half-assing it is okay sometimes. At the end of the day, I'm not a surgeon. So I have noticed that there are people I've met who are, say, successful business people who don't know much about technology. But what they do understand is that technology is a tool in order for a business to work. So even for a company that is based on technology, Facebook, mm-hmm, technology is essentially a tool. Without us logging into Instagram and looking at cat videos, that is not going to work. Without advertisers wanting to advertise to us, it is not going to work. So it's still, technology is a tool. Mm-hmm. So I think the first piece is to become confident. The people who are confident in their own intelligence, in their own, mm-hmm, in their own abilities, they were saying, mm-hmm, okay, you know what? I don't know what the latest tools are. And like, maybe I need to learn, maybe I don't need to learn. But at the end of the day, how does it help me reach scale? How does it help me increase efficiency? How does it help me increase customer satisfaction? Okay, like, if you tell me the answers to these questions, then it's worth my time. If you're just going to tell me about how this random new thing is going to change the world, I'm really not that interested. Yeah. And first, I'd want listeners to actually take that on board, because yes, the technology is now more easy to use. There are a lot of tools for non-technical people to use. But actually, let's just take a step back of why technology exists in the first place. Like, I think we've put it on a pedestal that is like, oh, it's this thing. Actually, no, it's there to serve us, not the other way around.
I'm glad you said that, because I know for me, we're about the same age. So we're in that weird generation that had typewriters, but then also had computers in the classroom. So we come from a space that gets the old way, but also saw the new way. And it kind of just integrated really nicely into our lives. But then as we see even more new things come, I know for me, like, I'm not fully committed to TikTok just yet. I'm not fully committed to some of the new things that are happening, but I love the fact that you say they're tools. And if that tool works for me, I should use that tool, and I need to look at how it helps my business, helps my brand, and helps those things versus thinking this technology is like this big amorphous thing that I can't understand or I shouldn't be a part of. So thank you for saying that, because it is a tool for us to do what we want to do, right? The things that we want to do best, for you to teach in a different way, for you to help folks come alongside this space. I think that's such a good point. I do want to dig in a little bit deeper, because you said something that a topic that I'm also interested in is how women get over a little bit of their imposter phenomenon or imposter syndrome, depending on who you are, how you talk about it. How do you get over that? I know you talked a little bit about getting through fear and feeling like sometimes you need to know everything about a topic. What are some of the things you do to like show up in a space where you may not know everything about a topic to feel that confidence that you were just talking about?
Well, so first of all, I have had so many therapists and coaches. I think I have like supported the industry of just professionals to help me get it together. You know, like the meditation apps, like the affirmation, like the whole thing. And you know what? It works. So I'm like, you know what? I now have a life coach. I have the meditation app. Like, I do all the things. But, you know, I also like wives. I'm not some sort of boring saint. But, you know, I do believe that actually if you are doing something innovative and creative, when you're doing something that puts your work out there, as you know, Amber, you know, you put something out there and then there is this panic of like, oh my God, what are people going to say? And then inevitably some people don't like it. And I do think that investing in either professional help or in a circle or in some sort of practice to help you kind of get over those times, that's important. But also, you know what I've noticed is that a lot of people that I used to really think like, oh my God, that person just knows everything and I know nothing. I've met quite a few of them. And yes, they are smart, but so am I. And so I realized that I think I certainly did this and my friends did it. So I do think it's a sort of a female founder, women in tech especially. I think we kind of put people on pedestals. So we lift up other people's achievements and then we kind of completely decrease our own, because we know about all of the rejections we've had. We know about all of the stuff that didn't go right for us, but we look at this other person and we only see their achievements. So we don't see, you know, their angry emails and their inbox. So I think kind of having this exposure therapy to people who you think are really smart and kind of saying, yeah, they're smart, but like, you know, I'm smart too. Like, they answered a question well, but actually they missed a point. And like, so that makes you think, well, sometimes I miss a point. It's not the end of the day. But also, in terms of when to stop, in terms of when to stop learning and get over your imposter syndrome, I like to give this example that if you were to hire a lawyer, you wouldn't say to yourself that I need to go to law school in order for me to hire a lawyer. Because that's the whole point of hiring a lawyer. Like, you didn't have to do that. But so why do we expect that if you're going to hire developers, you need to learn to code? Like, that logic, it makes no sense.
Right.
So I always think, okay, well, in order to hire a lawyer, you do need to understand something about law. So, you know, if you are hiring a lawyer to, you know, if you bought a house, you don't want to hire an M&A lawyer to work on your house. Or you don't want to hire a divorce attorney to, I don't know, try to get you out of jail. It's a different thing. So you do need to understand that, okay, the law is kind of it's one big thing, kind of like technology. It's really one big sector. There are lots of different specialists in it. Don't hire the wrong people. Understand what it is. Like, you need to understand the concepts that you're dealing with. But just like you wouldn't go to law school to hire a lawyer, you don't need to go that deep in the tech.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So this is where I hire people, or I work with people who do a different job to me all the time. We are used to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to have the same attitude, to have the same ideas when it comes to tech. Like, you are hiring accountants. You don't have, you know, you get somebody to do your taxes. You don't have a CPA yourself. So we know how to work with people who do a different job. And so I think we just need to kind of give ourselves examples of when we have succeeded doing similar things. And then to kind of say, okay, you know what? It's probably never going to feel good, but this is what we have to do. This is how the professional world works.
Thank you so much for demystifying that. I've never heard that analogy before, but it hits home so well. One, I have a law degree. So on that side, but seriously, it hits home because you wouldn't hire, like, I'm not trying to do my own taxes or do my own accounting. And I'm not trying to go get a CPA. Like you said, those are things that I just don't think about. But I don't know why tech puts up this ideal that you need to figure this stuff out in that way. And I love the way you said that. And I hope that people are listening and they also can hear that and really realize that they can do this without having to be full tech coders or folks who understand software engineering or who can build out the algorithm, that they just can come in as they are. So I really appreciate that. And I know we touched on a few different topics, from imposter syndrome to doing this work as a non-technical founder to understanding that you can just start by learning concepts. Like, you hit on a lot of nuggets that I think are going to be very helpful for folks who are interested in navigating this space, which is most of my listeners. So I want to ask one final question before I give you the chance to talk about all the cool things you're doing. Why do you think it's so important for our listeners to understand how that, even if they aren't coders, like, what is your final statement to them to make sure they know they can participate in this space?
Well, I think that they are already participating. We are already participating. So are you going to participate in it consciously as a leader, or are you going to be essentially just data that somebody else has signed? So I would rather be the leader rather than be data that somebody said. But I want to go back to the even your coffee shop has an app. You know, I was recently reading an interview with the head of AI at Levi's. You know, Levi's, they make jeans. Yeah, and she was saying, well, we use AI to predict consumer trends because they're a global brand, a global company. So what people want, say, in Brazil is going to be different to what people want in China.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be able to predict consumer trends. They also need to be able to use AI to manage their supply chain and to stock their stores. And actually, AI is a really central part of Levi's. And I was thinking, oh my God, you know, so now we've got Starbucks getting most of their in-store revenue from an app. We've got Levi's, which is now AI enabled. So I'm like, what else can you do? Maybe then I was thinking, what can you do without tech? Maybe a beauty therapist. But even the beauty salons are now all on, you know, one of the platforms. So I literally think that if you want to have a successful career today, you have to have an understanding of what this stuff is. You don't have to build it, but it's like, can you have a successful business career without knowing some legal concept and without knowing some accounting concept? I don't think you can. And it's the same way that, like, okay, now we're living in the digital age, so I don't think you can have a successful career without knowing some concepts.
Thank you for those words. I agree with you. That's one reason I started this podcast, was because I saw topics and things happening in the field, and I knew the people around me who are around my age weren't really like thinking about getting into these spaces because they thought they had to be coders, or they thought they had to go to school for computer science or software engineering or something like that. Whereas I'm saying, I don't think so, because I'm adjacent to these spaces. I do work in data, and I work adjacent to tech industry because of that. And I want folks to know exactly what you said. It's already here. You're already a part of it. But I love what you said around, you can either be conscious or a leader in this, or you can just let it pass you by. So thanks so much for sharing those things today. How can our audience stay in contact with you, learn more about what you're doing? What are some of your social media handles, as well as your website and your podcast?
So the podcast is Tech for Non-Techies, very easy to find. And actually, I've got a list of top 10 tech concepts for non-techies. And so you can just go to techfornontechies.co/speaktech, or just go to the website techfornontechies.co and you will see these top 10 concepts. And I have even added some pictures because, you know, concepts like back-end, front-end, algorithm, they're everywhere, but a lot of people don't really know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sign up to the mailing list there as well. And for social media, I'm on Twitter, Sofia Matveeva, or LinkedIn, same, Sofia Matveeva, or you can check out Tech for Techies on Facebook and LinkedIn and all of the socials. But mainly, every week, I'm on the pod, just like you, Amber, teaching smart, ambitious people how to succeed in the digital age.
I love it. Sofia, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Anything else you want to say as final words before we close out?
I want to thank you for being such a wonderful interviewer, and also for actually, I think, bringing lawyers into this world, because lawyers are a notoriously perfectionist and, you know, risk averse audience, because you have to, you know, you can't have a risk taking lawyer, because what are you going to do? The whole point is that, you know, the client is the risk taker and the lawyer is trying to, you know, stop the madness. But equally, because every business is now digitally enabled, lawyers do have to let go some of that perfectionism and to, hey, to understand they're not going to become a computer scientist, but like you say, they need to understand the concept, get into it. And this is why I love what you're doing in bringing a new audience, a perfectionist audience, and trying to be less perfectionist. That's God's work, Amber.
Thank you so much, Sophia. I really appreciate it. Thank you. That is a wrap for the AI Decodes the System podcast. I really hope you enjoyed the conversation with today's guest. Please make sure you go to wherever you listen to this podcast and download, subscribe, like. Make sure you show us that love so we can know that you are loving the content we're putting out. Also, feel free to add a comment and rate us. Thank you all so much, and see you next time.